Our lesson this morning is out of Psalm 118, verses 1 to 29, thanking God for the great deliverances of His eternal grace. Psalm 118, the great final psalm of the Hallel praise psalms, extols and thanks God for the eternality of His loyal love that has proven itself to provide for all the deliverances His people have needed to date in history. So we view this great psalm of thanksgiving for its invaluable encouragement for those who face foes today. I'd like to look to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll get into His word. Father, we thank You for Your love. We thank You for Your grace and for Your word, the indwelling Spirit of God. Thank You for the opportunity that we have to fellowship around the word. We ask, Father, that we would understand the text this morning and then be able to use it, apply it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Okay, well, look at the King James Version first, and we'll go through that, and then we'll look at the Hebrew. Psalm 118, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, because His mercy endureth forever. Let Israel now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let the house of Aaron now say that His mercy endureth forever. Let them that now fear the Lord say that His mercy endureth forever. I called upon the Lord in distress. The Lord answered me and set me in a large place. The Lord is on my side, I will not fear. What can man do unto me? The Lord taketh my part with them that help me. Therefore shall I see my desire upon them that hate me. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. All nations surrounded me, but in the name of the Lord I would destroy them. They surrounded me about, yes, they surrounded me about, but in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. They surrounded me about like bees. They are quenched as fire of thorns. For in the name of the Lord I will destroy them. Thou hast thrust sore at me that I might fall, but the Lord helped me. The Lord is my strength and song and has become my salvation. The voice of rejoicing and salvation is in the tabernacle of the righteous. The right hand of the Lord doth valiantly. The right hand of the Lord is exalted. The right hand of the Lord doth valiantly. I shall not die but live and declare the works of the Lord. The Lord has chastened me sore, but He has not given me over to death. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go in to them and I will praise the Lord. This gate of the Lord into which the righteous shall enter. I will praise Thee, for Thou hast heard me. Thou art become my salvation. The stone which the builders refused has become the headstone of the corner. This is the Lord's doing. It is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Save now, I beseech Thee, O Lord. O Lord, I beseech Thee, send now prosperity. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. God is the Lord which hath showed us light. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even under the horns of the altar. Thou art God, my God, and I will praise Thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt Thee. O give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Okay, the verse numbering system in the Hebrew text matches that of the English Bible, so we're staying, of course, with the English Bible's numbering system for this lesson, and we thus translate Psalm 118 as follows. Give thanks to Yahweh because He is good, because His loyal love endures forever. Let Israel say, because His loyal love endures forever. Let the house of Aaron say, because His loyal love endures forever. Let those who revere Yahweh say, because His loyal love endures forever. From the narrow straits of distress, I cried to Yahweh, and Yahweh answered me by setting me free. Yahweh is on my side. I will not be afraid what man shall do unto me. Yahweh is on my side. He is my help, and I myself will look in triumph on my enemies. It is better to take refuge in Yahweh than it is to rely upon man. It is better to take refuge in Yahweh than to rely upon princes. All the nations surrounded me, but in the name of Yahweh I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side, but in the name of Yahweh I cut them off. They swarmed around me like bees, but they died out as quickly as burning thorns because I cut them off in the name of Yahweh. I was pushed back and about to fall, but Yahweh helped me. Yahweh is my strength and my song. He has become my salvation. Shouts of joy and victory resound in the tents of the righteous. Yahweh's right hand has done mighty things. Yahweh's right hand is lifted high. Yahweh's hand has done mighty things. I will not die but live and will proclaim what Yahweh has done. Yahweh has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. Open unto me the gates of righteousness. I will enter them and give thanks to Yahweh. This is the gate of Yahweh through which the righteous may enter. I will give you thanks, for you answered me. You have become my salvation. The stone which the builders rejected has become the capstone. Yahweh has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes. This is the day which Yahweh has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. O Yahweh, now save us. O Yahweh, now grant us success. Blessed is he who comes in the name of Yahweh. From the house of Yahweh, we bless you all. Yahweh is Elohim, and he has made his light shine upon us. With boughs in hand, which tells us that this probably went on during the Feast of Tabernacles, join in the festal procession up to the horns of the altar. You, emphatic pronoun, are my Elohim, and I will give you thanks. My Elohim, I will exalt you. And then to repeat verse 1, give thanks to Yahweh because he is good, because his loyal love endures forever. Now, we consider significant observations regarding the psalm as follows. The comprehensive nature of the deliverances of this psalm made it a favorite, believe it or not, of Martin Luther. In fact, he testified, quote, "It has done me great service on many an occasion and has stood by me in many a difficulty when the emperor, kings, wise men, and clever, and even the saints were of no avail." Now, if Luther found it helpful in his enormous trials, we do well to apply it dealing with trials that we face in our lives. Dr. Atkinson, who wrote the book on Luther, pointed out that the Protestant Reformation was Luther. Luther was the Protestant Reformation. In other words, he was right at the core of it. And everything that was going on in his life affected the whole Reformation. So this man faced enormous pressure. He had enemies. He had people who wanted him killed. His life was constantly endangered and so forth. But if he found encouragement from it, we certainly can. So what I've done, I've gone back through the psalm and I've just looked at various aspects. You'll notice in verse 1, give thanks to Yahweh because he's good, because his loyal love endures forever. That's the same as verse 29, the last one, give thanks to Yahweh because he is good, because his loyal love endures forever. That's the focus of the entire psalm. And then his loyal love endures forever occurs in verse 2, occurs in verse 3, verse 4. And it also occurs, of course, verse 29 as well. So the emphasis is on the loyal love, the loyalty of God's love, and it's lasting forever. This psalm became a favorite of Luther 500 years ago, this past year. 500 years ago, that's a long time. And, of course, it had been written well before his time. At least maybe 1,500 years before his time, or maybe 2,000 years before his time. So this is a wonderful psalm, and its truth is very important. Verse 5, from the narrow straits of distress. The word distress often implies a person who is like in a vice. There's not enough room. He might not have enough resources. He might not have enough time. He might not have enough liberty. Anyway, or he might not have room to express himself, so he's emotionally suppressed. That's what the whole idea of narrow straits are. He cried to Yahweh, and God set him free. God released him. So there is a tremendous ministry that God has of taking people out of narrow straits, situations where there's no freedom, there's no breakdown, there's no room. It could be even financial straits, and he releases them. And then verse 6, I will not be afraid what man shall do unto me. In fact, verse 7, also Yahweh is on my side, he's my help, and I myself, emphatic pronoun, will look and triumph on my enemies. Luther, of all people, understood what it was like to be alone. He had a superior by the name of, I believe his name was Staupitz. And this superior was actually trying to be helpful to Luther, but his superior was caught up in Roman Catholic, what they call scholasticism. They were heavily, at the time the church was heavily dependent upon the teachings of Aristotle and so forth. And it was messing things up for Luther. And Luther realized that he had to go it alone. And the only thing he had to go on at that time was Scripture. Now, that was a shock. But you have to remember, the Roman Catholic Church actually ruled Europe. And the Catholic Church was teaching that the only source of interpreting anything was the church. You just didn't interpret it on your own. But Luther saw tremendous contradictions between papal decrees and councils and Scripture and so forth. So he said, well, what do we have as the precedent? The only precedent we have is Scripture. So I'm going to stay with the precedent of Scripture because it's the oldest thing that we have going for us. And I'm going to have to assume that the papal decrees, the councils, and all of these other things, the missals that we're using in the church, all of those things have erred, not Scripture. And so he did. And it was a bold move on his part to rely on Scripture. It was a shock, but he did. And of course, when he did that, he came to the idea of justification by faith. And that was something that was taught in Scripture. It was completely new. So, I will not be afraid what man shall do unto me. So God is our help. And verse 8, it is better to take refuge in Yahweh than it is to rely upon men. See, Luther had the opportunity of either choosing to accept what man around him was teaching him or what God taught him. And he just couldn't accept what man was teaching because he was logically inconsistent. In fact, at the Diet of Worms, when Luther was asked to recant his stand, he says, unless I can be shown from Scripture by means of manifest reasoning, in other words, by clear reasoning, you can't ask me to go against that which is logical, because if it's not logical, it's not true. So Luther chose to rely upon God, not man. That was a huge step. It's easy to critique Luther's theology because he didn't go far enough. You know, he was weak on the Lord's table, and we clarify this every time his view was a consubstantiation that the Spirit of Christ was in it, and so forth. But it's amazing how far he came, given where he came from. And also, he said, he applied verse 9, it's better to take refuge in Yahweh than to rely on princes. In those days, you had the Holy Roman Emperor. The Habsburgs were running the empire at the time. And then you had these local kings and local leaders over Germany, over France, and whatnot, and they were constantly vying with the Holy Roman Emperor in regards to power. There was economic upheaval that was occurring at the time. There was a lot that was going on. The Muslims also were trying to invade through Spain and coming up that way, and so the Holy Roman Emperor had to spend a lot of his time addressing the invasion of the Muslims and so forth, and that distracted him from Luther, which enabled Luther's cause to get going further. But Luther finally realized, I can't even rely on princes. I can't rely on leaders around me. I've got to rely on the Lord. And boy, is that applicable today. We look at the leadership that we have in our country, in the world. We constantly hear about weaknesses there. Our ultimate rest has to be in the Lord. Then in verses 10, 11, 12, and 13, all nations surrounded me, but in the name of Yahweh I cut them off. They surrounded me on every side. Verse 12, they swarmed around me like bees, but they died out as quickly as burning thorns because I cut them off in the name of Yahweh. They would take thorns and use them as kindling as fire, all right? And when you would light the thorns, because they were dry, and they were open, they had a lot of surface area, they would burn very, very quickly. And the idea is to try to get the thorns to burn to ignite the wood. And then the wood would burn longer, and then you could heat up your lunch or your supper or whatever and go on from there. But the psalmist here said they swarmed around me like bees. In other words, it was almost too much to handle. But they died out as quickly as burning thorns because I cut them off in the name of Yahweh. I was pushed back and about to fall, but Yahweh helped me. We think of Hebrews 4:16, where we find help in the time of need when we come to the throne of grace. Often the implication is there just in the nick of time. So, another wonderful lesson. Also, down in verse 17, I will not die but live. I will proclaim what Yahweh has done. Luther was kidnapped as he was going home from the Diet of Worms. He thought that as a result of the stand of the Diet of Worms, it was just a matter of time and he would be burned at the stake. You know, that's what they did in those days. If you stood against the church, that was it. Your life was forfeit. But a friendly power kidnapped him, and at the last instant, he grabbed his Hebrew Old Testament and his Greek New Testament. He took them with him, and they took him off to a castle nearby, and they shaved his head or hair, and they put him in a sort of a cloak that so no one would know who he was. And he was kind of kept in like a prison there. It was a friendly gesture. So since he had his spare time, he decided he'd better translate the Bible. So he translated the Bible into German. In those days, there were many various dialects of German all over the language, all over the country. When Luther translated the Bible into German, that Bible was put in the Gutenberg press and duplicated, and it actually helped to solidify the German language for the whole country, because everybody was using the particular type of German that he was using in his Bible. So everything this man did was kind of like the Midas. Everything he touched was kind of like a Midas touch. It had a tremendous impact. But the Lord was using him. But I will not die but live and will proclaim what Yahweh has done. And the Lord certainly did that in his life. Verse 18, Yahweh has disciplined me severely, but he has not given me over to death. That's an interesting phrase. Then if we skip down to verses 22 and 23, the stone which the builders rejected has become the capstone. Yahweh has done this and is marvelous in our eyes. Jesus himself used that to describe himself as the capstone. I don't know if you know what a capstone is. A capstone, and when you're building an arch, the stones come up like this, and in the capstone is a very oblong shaped stone. It's slanted on both sides, and yet it's probably the largest one. And there was an old story that was going around when they were building the temple and so forth, and they were cutting the stones at the quarry so that there was no stone cutting occurring at the building site. They got this oblong stone, and the builders didn't know what to do with it, so they rolled it down the hill. Well, as they were building this key arch, they got up to where they needed the keystone. They suddenly recognized the stone that they had rolled down the hill was the capstone that fit in there as a keystone. So they had to go and recapture the stone and put it back. Now, originally, this dealt with the nation Israel. According to the commentators, they felt that Israel was seen as the nation that kept getting in the way, and it was a burdensome problem to all the other nations around it. And so the builders, that would be the nations of the world, had rejected Israel, but it had become the capstone and the program of God, which is true. But even further than that, we can actually say that since Jesus Christ is the capstone of the capstone, in other words, he's the key to the kingdom of Israel, Jesus Christ could very properly take this truth and apply it to himself. So, there are lots of wonderful applications in this psalm, and I have to admit myself that I've decided to start borrowing. If Luther used this in his era, I'm going to borrow it from my era. Because there are just some tremendous, wonderful truths here. It's better to take refuge in Yahweh than it is to rely upon man, verse 8. Verse 9, it's better to take refuge in Yahweh than to rely on princes. Verse 6, I will not be afraid what man shall do unto me. God's deliverance from narrow straits, verse 5. There's just lots of wonderful truths in this psalm. So, we've gone through it that way. I've made the applications. We'll open it up to you for input, feedback. If you have it in regards to this psalm, that's fine. If there's something else that has come up, feel free to address it. And we'll look at it. Okay. Like I said, for those who've come in recently, we have this door open because the furnace in the attic which heats up the fellowship hall, didn't come on this morning. The reason it didn't is because it gets so cold that the oil that comes from in the tank underneath the stairwell in the back, going up 16 feet, it reaches the limit. And once the oil gets too cold, the pump can't pump it up there. So it didn't go on. So we've got electric heat turned on there, and we've got the door open here so that air can get out. Hopefully it'll warm up. It started at 44 degrees this morning. The last I remember, I went in there, it was 50, which is better. But that's what's going on this morning. Okay, we'll open it up to you for feedback, questions. Could be on the psalm itself. It certainly does not have to be. If there's something else that has come up, feel free to address it.